Good morning, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Those words have been spoken at the beginning of this service and the celebrations before it for many years, and they still hold and ring true, because it is life's nature simply to show up. And we get to choose how that life shows up in us and through us. So I want to welcome you to this celebration, to this gathering of the community of Center for Spiritual Living Midtown Atlanta. We are broadcasting from Midtown and from all over Atlanta. And we are broadcasting from Colorado, and we are broadcasting throughout the internet. But we are connected in the oneness that God is. And we are a community that is really working to develop that connectedness, to develop that sense of community. And we are a community that is all about teaching spiritual principle, the core spiritual principles of the teaching based on the science of mind that Ernest Holmes sort of formulated, although it didn't come to him or through him. He gathered it from lots of sources and lots of places. So we are a center that teaches spiritual mind treatment. We teach principle. We teach prayer. We provide you with skills and actions and opportunities and practices that can help us all living through our everyday lives, regardless of what challenges we're facing and regardless of all of the challenges. We know, first of all, that because you are an expression of the divine, we celebrate you, whoever you are and whatever your personal a version of that divine may be. And so that we honor all paths, we honor all people. We are not about one religion versus another. We are not about one social group versus another. We are about all people come together as one and recognizing that underneath and behind it all, we have a common spiritual humanity. And so with that, I want to say thank you for being with us. And I want to invite you to join me, if you would. We're going to look at a further understanding of who we are by looking at what our Declaration of Principles are. So here they are on the screen, and I will read them. You feel free to read along with them as well. Out loud is sometimes a great way for your whole body to hear truth. So I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe in this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe that all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of life to all. And so it is. Let's hear a little music that tells the absolute truth.
You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God.
Tu es l'image de Dieu.
I hold you in my heart.
Tu es l'image de l'amour.
You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God.
Tu sei la luce di Dio.
I hold you in my heart.
Tu sei il volto dell'amore.
You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of
love. You are the face of love.
I hold you in my heart.
I hold you in my heart.
You are my.
You are the face of God. I love that song. I first heard it when a group of teenagers at a teen camp back in California that we have every year, by the way, every summer, 350 to 500 teens gather on a mountaintop along with a bunch of adults, and we create an atmosphere of unconditional love, and we create opportunities for everyone there to heal and to grow and to nurture each other. And as part of Empowerment Night, one year, the women gathered, made a circle around all of the men in the group. The men had already done something similar with the women in terms of honoring and blessing them. And they sang this song to us. It was like having our mothers and daughters and sisters all singing to us at the same time. It was a beautiful, powerful experience. You want to make a bunch of guys cry, sing that song to them. It really worked. We were deeply emotionally touched. It's very important to be reminded right now, and the whole theme of today's service is about being reminded of the truth of who we are and the truth of where we live. You know, this has been a tough year for many, many people, and it's not over. The struggles with COVID and the struggles that people are having, you know, it's one thing to see these abstract numbers on the screen, in your news media or wherever you get your news. It's something else to experience them up close and personal. And we have people in this congregation who have lost beloved members of their families to COVID, or who know people who have lost those beloved members. And that changes it from a simple kind of blank number on a screen into a very personal and meaningful and powerful experience. So what I want to do today in our spiritual mind treatment is to offer to all of us an opportunity to experience or to have an affirmative prayer for all of those who've lost someone to this virus and to anything else in the last several months, with an idea for how we move on. You know, we don't grow, we don't get anywhere looking in the rearview mirror, but what we do need to do and must do is honor the love and the truth and the power that every life has represented in our lives, and in even when we don't know them. We don't know what kind of effect they've had on all of us, because every person is an important part of the oneness, the fullness of God. You are the face of God, and so are they. So if you would join me in this spiritual mind treatment. This is an affirmative prayer. It's an opportunity to declare what is true and to change our consciousness. We're not asking God to do anything other than what God already knows to do, because, you know, God's a bit smarter than I am. But what I do know is that I need to align my consciousness, my thought, my feeling with that infinite in order to live a freer, more happy and joyful life. Ernest Holmes says in the textbook that true liberty comes only through true harmony. True harmony only through true unity. And true unity can come only through the conscious realization that we are all one with God. So know this with me. There is one power, one infinite intelligence, one universal presence. As I take a deep breath in, I feel the air exchanging in my body. I feel that deep peace of having life running through every part of me. And I recognize it in my body because that's my most present place to be, to do the realization. And I recognize that my breath is breathed by the infinite, that while it seems to be my taking a breath, the truth is I can't stop breathing. The infinite breathes me as long as there is purpose for it. And so I settle into this awareness that I and each one are expressions of this divine. And so I step into a greater truth, a greater idea, a greater realization that I am now and always will be the oneness of God. And everyone on this planet now, and that it's ever been and ever has been or ever will be, is a divine example, expression, beingness of God itself. So as I think of those who have been in such pain, who have lost loved ones, for the loved ones who are lost or who seem to have been lost, I stand strongly in the truth that nothing is ever lost to God. We may be missing people physically, but the truth is they are present with God now as they have always been. We are present with God now as we always will be. And as surely as life moves through us and runs into and through our lives, it does so in a way that is unfolding toward our greater and greater good. It's so that however and whatever has occurred, whatever has brought about these transitions at this time, transitioning from physical life into spiritual life, into a more fully spiritual life without our bodies. Whatever that's all about and why it's happening now, I don't know. But what I know is God is moving us toward a greater expression of harmony, a greater expression of truth, a greater expression of love. And my heart opens with compassion for all of those who have been harmed and hurt, who have experienced pain in this time. Whether it's from the virus, whether it's from the socioeconomic system, whatever appears going on, right now I exercise my power and practice to look for God in all of this. There's a power for good in the universe, and it is working for us and through us. And I turn to that comfort, to the presence and realization of God in my every breath, in the air on my skin, in the beating of my heart, and in the sadness I feel, and in the joy that I feel. And I allow all of that to unfold within me in great truth and great ease. I turn to God for comfort. I turn to God for support and hope. I do this always. I'm grateful in this moment, in this time, nothing is ever lost. All that seems to be lost, if it's true and real, will be present for us in the future. For God itself lets nothing go. That's true. So in that truth, I can release this now, breathing in the comfort, the love, and the appreciation that comes to me from God itself. So in deep gratitude and faith, I release this treatment now, knowing it is complete. I let it be, and so it is. So mountains are for climbing, not for carrying on our backs. Hear the music.
First your heart goes cold, then your stare goes long. A fire in your eyes, the burning desire left long ago. You've been living your life for everyone else. You've been holding the weight of this whole wide world all by yourself. In these mountains, these mountains, that you carry on your back, you are only supposed to climb.
Our topic today is looking up. We've spent the whole month looking at and thinking about ancient wisdom and vision for the future at the same time, or in balance with that. Now we're ready to look at, we've looked in the past, we've looked at where we are in the present, we looked into the future last week, and today we're looking up. Looking up is an interesting idea. You know, you see the pictures, the paintings of the saints and of others who seem to always, if you know, if they have a halo, you can bet in the painting they're going to be looking up. They got their eyes turned up and they're looking up. We know from neurolinguistic programming, which is a science here that's used a lot in our therapies and in our visioning and imagining. But we know that if we're looking up, something different happens biologically and physically in our bodies. There's a sense of greater hope. I mean, think about it. Give yourself a moment to practice it. Think about something. Think about one of those mountains you're carrying on those shoulders of yours. Something you've been, maybe you don't have any, and that's good. I'm happy if you don't. But if you do happen to have something that's bothering you or bugging you, or you feel like you're carrying it around, look down. Look down and think about it. And you'll feel all of that heaviness, maybe. Just notice what you feel. You don't have to do anything about it. Just notice it. Then look out, straight out of the horizon, or straight at the screen, or straight beyond the screen. And bring that same thing to mind. And see how that feels. And then look up. About a 45 degree angle from where you're sitting. One of the founders of this teaching, who taught our founder, Ernest Holmes, Emma Curtis Hopkins, used to say and taught regularly that we should look up. And she taught it not only from a metaphysical or an internal standpoint, because I often think of it as looking up from within. I mean, looking up to the greater picture, to the idea of God, looking out into the universe, or looking out into what's possible, or looking up into what's possible. But even before we knew about linguistic programming, she said, no, look up. Physically, take the time to look up instead of looking down into the problem and taking it apart and knowing every little detail about what's wrong. Turn your eyes upward and your mind upward. I recently took a seminar on this, and our assignment for 1 week was to look up 10 minutes a day. Didn't have to do anything else, but before we did as we began any other spiritual practice, we were invited to look up. Take some time to just look up for a while. And it was very interesting how it opens myself and it opened the flow and the awareness. Now we know God's not up any more than it's in here. Heaven's not up. We don't look up to heaven as if it's up there somewhere just beyond the sun, or maybe in the middle of the sun. Or, you know, now we know that what is up for us is out, truly. You're just looking out from where we are as we're sitting on the planet. But from our perspective right here, you know, we have a million years or more of human development, of consciousness development, where up was a real thing. And it's only been a very short time now that we've begun to recognize it, that up is really out, and that we're in a swirling universe of planets and stars. So there really is no up or down. But our bodies don't know that. Our bodies still operate from that up and down, because it's taken a while for them to develop to this point, and it'll take a while for us to get on beyond that, possibly. So you may find that in the physiological response to looking up comes some peace, comes some, it's okay, comes some harmony. And our bodies, minds, and spirits are one thing. They're not separated, even though we separate them to talk about them. But they really are part of the same continuum. So in looking up, what we're really doing on a spiritual standpoint is looking outward to the infinite, looking towards the infinite, looking and reaching and understanding and feeling what this infinite is really about. We often say, you know, there's one God, there's one power. That's what we teach. That's what we're about. And we are quick to let that phrase go by. And yet, if there's only one, then it has some characteristics. It is omnipresent. It is everywhere present. It is all powerful. And that power is within and all around us all of the time. And it is omniscient, all-knowing, which means all of that energy, all of that power, all of that truth, all of that goodness is available to us all of the time. All we need to do is cultivate the awareness of it, which takes some doing sometimes, because there's so much going on in the world and so much being thrown at us that say we're separate from God, we're not good enough, this is wrong or that's wrong. You know, we're too fat to really be loved by God, or we're too old to really be alive and vital and have the power moving through us to create new things. Or we're too dumb. Or too smart. I used to be told I was too smart for my own good. What that really meant was I was too smart for what they wanted me to be good at, not what I wanted, whoever they were. So it's a matter of recognizing that power is always here and available to us if we are constantly cultivating the idea of it, constantly cultivating that this awareness that there's a presence all around us. That's why folks wear mala beads, one of the reasons, or prayer beads. I know we have some folks in our center who carry their Catholic prayer beads with them, and they do prayer with them. Whatever you need to do, whatever you can find to do to remind you that you're not here by yourself, you're not alone. You live in a soup of spiritual power, and it's a matter of, and truth and goodness and all of that, and it's a matter of developing the awareness of that so that whatever is happening in your life, you can know, even though it may be horrible at the time, you're not alone, you're not separate, you're not separated, you've not been abandoned. Spirit is right there in and as with you and through you in the moment. You know, heaven is, as I said, it's not up there. It's a consciousness idea. It's not something that is a place. I don't know if you remember that whole thing of streets of gold and pearly gates and all of that. All sounds very pretty. And if you're thinking about it in terms of coming from a place of poverty, maybe that's a beautiful idea. But symbolically, it's what it amounts to, because streets of gold would be so soft that they would be destroyed in no time. The reality, though, is that gold is energy and power and goodness, and it is the consciousness and the conscious awareness of our oneness with God. And hell is living from that place where we are separate and we can't really help one another or be part of anything with one another. And that's really in terms of a physical place. So, knowing that, we often for this or something better, because we're always treating for the allowing spirit to move through us and bring into our individual lives greater expressions of those things that we desire: prosperity, health, relationships, loving relationships, and creative expression in our work. We're bringing those things through, and we are declaring that it's for us, because it is our nature. It's right there in the one power showing up in our lives. And we're just trying to clear anything out of the way in our own minds that would block that. And so often what we do is, when we're treating for, say, prosperity, we get an idea of what is prosperity for us, an amount perhaps, or a symbol of prosperity, like a larger house or a greater, or the ability to travel, that's one of mine, or some other thing of that sort. And we treat for, provide me with this spirit within me, I will have this or something better. The problem is we get stuck on the this, and we get caught up in so defining the this is what I want, and it needs to be this way and this color and in this style, that we don't spend much time on the something better. And spirit around us, in us, and through us is all about the something better, because there's a wisdom, an infinite wisdom and knowledge in the infinite spirit around us and within us, that has access to information and ideas and knowledge that we've not yet imagined, and is offering it to us if we simply open to accept it. So rather than spending too much time on the this, I spend a lot of time on the something more. Prosperity in its grandest idea, beyond anything that my limited mind has thought of yet. One of my favorite ministers in this organization, he's now on the other side supporting and working for us, I'm sure, was Tom Costa. And one of my favorite quotes of his was, near the end of his life, he sold his Rolls Royce. He'd had the Rolls Royce for a while. He loved driving to his center on a Sunday morning, showing up in the Rolls Royce and parking in the minister's parking lot. And it was a manifestation, a demonstration of what prosperity could be for everyone. But he sold it, bought something smaller and more practical, quote, practical, something not as costly, something he could get fixed on the corner instead of waiting for them to come to him. And when he did, he said this, I've let go of my last symbol of poverty. He had to have that symbol of something to prove to himself and anyone else that wanted to look that he had overcome poverty. Not because it was a symbol of something wonderful and grander and bigger and greater, but it represented some kind of outward this or that. A Rolls Royce as opposed to an old beat up whatever. When he let it go, he didn't need the symbol anymore, because he knew within his own mind and heart and soul that he was the very essence of prosperity. And it would always be flowing through him in great circulation, because it does for all of us. And in doing that, it became a greater practice of recognition of the One, recognition of his own oneness and his own full immersion into God and into what God was about. So it is our whole thrust in this teaching, as we look up or out or within, whichever way works best for you, to that awareness that God is more, that there's a power around us, whether we call it God or spirit or Allah or whatever names we put on it. There's a power beyond any of those names that we live within, that is everything we're made of. And it is everything we think and know and be. And every time you think a thought, you use that power. Every time you set an intention, you use that power. In the discussions of heaven and hell, one of the things that Ernst Holmes says that I think is really powerful is that heaven is really sticking to the idea of oneness regardless of anything else. He says it's simply a question of sticking to the idea until it is a tangible reality. The illusion is in the way we look at things. We have looked at poverty, degradation, and misery so carefully until they have manifested gigantic proportions. Now we look at harmony. We look at happiness, plenty, peace, prosperity, and right action, and they will appear and manifest to the same degree and in the same way. So, lift your eyes up, breathe deeply, and let go. Let go of all your preconceived notions of what God is and how it works. Let go of all of your preconceived limitations of your thoughts and ideas that things have to be a certain way. And allow this presence of infinite love, love beyond anything you've yet imagined. You are surrounded by it. You are filled with it. You are so loved. Let that fill your awareness, your consciousness, your truth. And join me for a few moments of meditation, a few moments of allowing that reality to sink into us deeply. With each breath we breathe, aware that we are connected with everything around us. We are part of the one. And yet we are the ones feeling the breath and doing the breathing. And as we look up to a greater idea, to a greater truth. Whether we're looking up with closed eyes or open eyes, looking up, we see that God is all. We may not always understand how that's true, but we are committed to understanding and to knowing. And so I look up. I look up to the best idea of God that I can manage. It may be in an old image from the past. It may be something brand new. It may simply be light, good orderly direction. But we settle into whatever that is, and we choose to stick to it until we have the awareness and have it manifesting in our lives as reality. We look up to a better idea of ourselves, to a greater idea of our health. In the midst of all of this health stuff we're hearing every day, know that the divine absolute pattern for perfect health is already present within you and every cell of your body, waiting for you to recognize it and claim it, because it is God itself in you. The same is true for patterns of love. Love showing up as that infinite divine power of love that has a whole bunch of boys crying because they're the face of God and feeling it for the first time. And seeing that that love comes to us through other people and in other people and as other people and also in our abstract feeling of it. We attract to us those folks who can express that love and to whom we can express love. And our creative gifts are so important. And we recognize the Spirit has become us as these gifts that we have, and we have the opportunity to share them and be richly, richly rewarded for that sharing and creating the circulation of giving our gifts and receiving gifts and keeping that going. People call it work or they call it career. So it's in and through all of that that the one is present in me, as me, through me, right here, right now, and always. I am so grateful for this truth. I'm grateful for this reality. I let it be the truth for me. And so it is. And so it is. So, you are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. We are a family. You are the grace of God and the face of God. And as such, you're invited to participate in the Center for Spiritual Living through sharing your gifts, through receiving the gifts that we offer to you through our various activities. However, this is the moment where we allow you to give, not to me, although I receive some of the benefit of it, but you are invited to give freely and easily to one another, to support the idea that this teaching, this work goes forward to heal and to bless everyone that comes in contact with it. So when you give to the center, you're giving to that person who may stumble into this for the first time because we have so much, a much more expanded place on the internet. If you give now, you give to this moment to know that you're helping and supporting someone who needs comfort, perhaps during COVID, perhaps in relationship to some other loss or some other need. You're supporting and giving to continue the circulation and flow that you have and that you know and that you get to experience. So we're going to see the affirmation of prosperity. And I'm going to read it. I invite you to open your heart and really pay attention to these words. We do this every week, but so they can get rote. But I want you to set aside the rote and hear it and feel it. I live in a universe of abundance. Just take a moment with that one. Think about the abundance all around you, the wealth we have. Almost everyone on this call is far wealthier than the kings of old. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join the divine flow. Life is a flow. It's a movement. The planets are constantly moving. We are swirling around the planets. There are energies and physical activities happening in our bodies. It is in constant movement. So as we give joyfully and freely, we join that divine flow, that movement. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. I don't give so that it will return. I give so that I can give and have the joy of giving. And that's the truth. And so it is. Now, we have some activities coming up at our center over the next few weeks. We're moving into a new theme starting in February. Not because the January theme is no longer meaningful, but we want to build on the January theme. And our February theme is one journey, many paths. So we're going to start with a clean slate next Sunday. It is our first Sunday, so I welcome you to come for that. That is a Sunday where we come back to the Zoom after this. If you're watching this on Facebook or on YouTube or some other platform, then we invite you to join our Zoom meeting right after this meeting so that you can join us for a bit of conversation and coffee. And next Sunday, we will be celebrating all of the February birthdays and celebrating anniversaries and anything else significant that's happened for you in February that you want to have this community celebrate with you on. And so I invite you to do that and join us next Sunday for that. Right now, we are continuing our Tuesday spiritual empowerment session. That may sound a little strange to you, but empowerment simply means awakening to that oneness that's all around us and within us and allowing it to expand and express. And we do that through discussion. We never want to pretend bad things aren't happening because sometimes things that are bad are happening to people. They're happening to us. What we do, though, is we do what our teaching teaches. We take a solid look at it. We look any discordant fact in the face and know better. We find that place underneath and behind it where spirit is expressing and unfolding in ways we haven't yet imagined. We shift our minds from this was done to me into it's done for me and later into it's part of me. But the positive underneath becomes a part of us. So join us for that. It's a 30-minute session. We talk, we treat, we laugh, we enjoy each other. So come on in and join us. We'd love to have you for that. On Wednesdays, this will be our third week of Wisdom Wednesdays. And this week, we're going to talk about what it does. Last week, we're doing the four basic talks from the beginning of the Science of Mind textbook that we just wanted to get back to the basics. And this is a back to the basics kind of talk. And we're going to talk. You're going to have some practices to do. We're going to share with each other what it means to us and go forward from there. And then I think that's it for our announcements. So I'm glad you're here. I'm happy that you joined us today. I hope it's been meaningful. I trust it has. If there's any desire to reach out to a practitioner is someone trained in our teaching who can support you in your growth and your healing and help you know better when your knowing may be kind of confused. I know when I am too close to something, when it just gets swirly in my head, I reach out to my practitioner and say, hey, help me with this. Help me know better what I'm not knowing well for myself right now. And they do. And I pay them. Happy to pay them. Happy to share with them and give something back when they give to me. So they are licensed by the Center for Spiritual Living because they've demonstrated and that they know how to use this teaching to make changes for other people, to bring you help, support, health, wealth, love, creative expression, in whatever area you're looking for it. So knowing that, I also know then that I think some of them are probably putting their information in the chats, in the various chats around. And I encourage you to consider using that anytime. There's there's no shame in looking for someone else to help you know the truth. We sometimes call it, rent a consciousness. When my consciousness isn't quite up to steam and up to speed, I rent a consciousness to help get mine there because we're all the same anyway. We're all one consciousness. So why not tap into it? And I'm so grateful for our board of trustees. They are the ones who keep the business end of things going. They take care of all of that. We have some things coming out soon that you'll be seeing announcements about. One is that we will be having a membership meeting in March where we talk about our plans for the future. We start looking at what about the question of coming back in person? When might that happen and how? We're also you'll be seeing next week a change of address. So watch for that. Our address is changing partly in preparation for that. We will no longer have two addresses. We'll just have one. And you'll be getting notices and letters about that this week. So thank you for being with us. Join me, if you will, in our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.